Welcome to the Strength Connection Podcast, a show to share stories, insights, and experiences from some of the greatest coaches in the world. I'm Michael Kurkowski, so grateful for you joining me today. And if you like this episode, please like, share, and subscribe to support the show. All right, let's dive in. Here we go.
All right, and we are live. Artemis, what's up? Welcome back.
Thank you for having me back, Mike. I'm super excited to be back today.
It's been a minute.
Like in general, and then just like back on the podcast for sure.
That's it. Yeah, we'll give some context to the in back, which is I'm really pumped to have you. So it's funny because we've connected, just catching up with each other through messaging for a while. But it's been a couple years. I checked back of the last time you were on this podcast, and
yeah,
it's been a crazy couple years for you, and a lot of different changes of going on here. Yeah. So I mean, coaching for a long time, and then really decided to step away for a bit, and now you're back. So kind of wanted to go over kind of the last few years and kind of start with that, and then we'll get rolling. So what was it at that time? I mean, you were a coach for a long time, super successful in many different ventures for a year, but it was really a time that you felt like just needed to take a break from it. So like, what was it about that time like that you felt like just need to step away and do something different?
I did. And I think the last time that I was on the podcast was like right before like my exit, like I don't know, 6 months before my exit. But it was a combination of like the pandemic, which I think impacted a lot of people in different ways. Mm-hmm. And for me, I didn't really feel the effects of it until 2021. In terms of like the year of the pandemic was great for me. That was the year that pre-pandemic, I pivoted my business to business coaching. Mm-hmm. And I was helping a lot of fitness and healthcare professionals who had lost their jobs, set up their online businesses. So that was a very rewarding year. I definitely was living in my mission of impact over income with that. And so that was awesome. But I didn't feel the effects of being at home, running an online business until 2021 and going through the pandemic doing that. Like when I decided to go full-time into my online business in 2018, 2019, it was my dream. It was my dream to just like have this business. You could work from anywhere and just have that freedom and flexibility with your schedule. And then all of a sudden, somehow being at home through the pandemic, it just turned my dream into something that was like, I need to get off social media. And then in early 2021, we had some like challenges with our business. Like we hired a marketing team. I think we talked about that on the last podcast, which like that didn't pan out. And I think the online space just really changed a lot in terms of algorithms that, for example, Instagram was instituting. And then there were other limitations like with email marketing that were coming up in the fall of 2021. And it just made it much more difficult for entrepreneurs and business owners to market their businesses and be seen. And that paired with me feeling stir crazy, working out of the house and being on Zoom and being on social media all the time. And that was like my only contact because mm-hmm. I couldn't teach any of my workshops. You know, people had moved away from workshops because of the pandemic. So I wasn't getting a lot of in-person time. And so that paired with that, and then just challenges that we had with the marketing team that we had hired to help us with our business that didn't pan out the way we wanted to, it just completely fried me. And I was like, I lost any drive, any motivation, anything, any like desire to have that, you know, that creative mind at all. I just was like, I can't do this anymore. I don't have anything creative, motivated to create and teach, whether it's like on social media or for my clients, and I need to do something different. And mm-hmm. it was the first time in like, since I had left my corporate consulting job in 2008, mm-hmm. that I really just was like, I was like dead inside. I had no desire. I was like, I think I'm done being an entrepreneur. And I had gone through other periods of burnout, like when we closed the gym and moved to Vegas. Like I had experienced like other levels of just needing a little bit of a break. But even during that time, I remember when we moved to Vegas, I was still online and still sharing and still selling programs. And I still had online training clients and I still was interested in that. And that was when I started working for Cirque du Soleil. And so I was still like motivated to do that. But I had like, I was like, I'm done. Like I was at the point that I was like, I will do anything. I will go back and I will wait tables. Yeah. Like I just wanted to, I was like, I don't want to think anymore. I don't want to have to be creative anymore. I want to turn my brain off. I want someone just to tell me what to do. And I will just like go work in a restaurant. Like that sounds fantastic to me right now.
Yeah. Right. It's a tough space to be in because like you said, like it wasn't the first time that you were like, oh, like this is, I'm not motivated, because you're not always going to be motivated at times. Like that's just part of business and stuff, but at some point still inspired. Like that's why when we were talking, like I commended you for being like actually fully stepping away and doing something different to make that switch. Cause I know so many people, they stay in that zone of just being in the middle somewhere. Like you're just kind of plodding along over time till eventually like you either figure it out, but like oftentimes it's just like, no, this isn't for you at the moment. Like just need to step away and then just go. So that time from there, like it's, so then you went into, I know like working more of like the corporate type spot and going in there, was that a hard transition for you? Or was it kind of like that point, like, I just need to do something so different. Like, I'm just excited to change the energy up.
It was a combination of the two. Mm-hmm. It was like, I just needed to change the energy. I needed to go do something different. And I also, it was hard. I was so scared for my first day. I was like, can I handle being in a 9-to-5? Oh my God. Because the job that I went to go do, I went to go work for a casino on their digital side for like their digital app. And I had to, for some reason, I don't know why this was set up this way because it's digital, but anyhow, I had to be on site 5 days a week. And I hadn't like done that. Like even when I was working for Cirque, I was only there like 3 days a week. And I had a little bit, you know, it was not even like full-time hours. So I had not been in that environment working full-time on site 9-to-5 in 14 years. And I was like, am I going to be able to do this? Holy shit. And you know, and also as a fitness professional and as an entrepreneur, like I had developed such a routine in the morning with like walks and reading and working out. And like, you just have this rhythm. And I'm like, how am I going to maintain my healthy lifestyle going back to the office? But I did. I was very disciplined about it. I was like, I just have to wake up earlier. And I was like, weekends were food prep. And when I had time during the week, I would do food prep just to make sure I had like my meals ready. And in the morning, I did have to modify some things. Like I couldn't go for as long of a walk, but I would go for a shorter one because my dog had to go. And I would work, and I would prioritize my workout in the morning and then go for a longer walk. So I had to be very disciplined, and which, you know, you're already disciplined anyway, but even more balancing that with being in an office all day. And it's so interesting because my coworkers were like, oh my gosh, you're just so disciplined. I'm like, this is my lifestyle. And if I sacrifice this, like you all aren't going to want to be around me during the day. Because it's like, I'm going to be miserable. So like, I just like it, even though it's like disciplined, it's just something that just like I naturally structure into my day, no matter what is going on.
Yeah.
And I can't believe it, but somehow I was able to like do that for almost 2 years. And, you know, making the decision to go back to the office, it was just like, yeah, I just need to go work for someone else. And I remember in February of 2022, so I started working in that job April 2022. I ended up getting it in February because I went to like a job fair and I got it like pretty quickly because I was like, I'm just going to go to this job fair and I'm getting a job today because I'm done and I need to get a job today. And so, which somehow I got a job that day. Anyway, So I remember talking to my sister because she came to visit around that time. And I was like, I can't even believe I feel like this. My sister's name is Mary. I was like, I can't even believe I feel like this, Mary. Like, she's like, it's normal. You're an entrepreneur and entrepreneurs get burnt out. It's okay. But I'm like, I have been burnt out before. I've never felt like this. Like, this is like, I think I'm done. Mm-hmm. And I also think that, like, when you asked me if it was like hard, I think for someone who is an entrepreneur, it can be scary to make that decision to leave your business behind because you have this identity of being an entrepreneur. And so now you're stepping into a new identity. And does that mean that you failed? Does that mean that you're giving up? Because one of the things, you know, as entrepreneurs, we don't give up. We persevere through the everything that is hard about running a business. And I had to come to, I had to let go of that. I had to, and I wrote about this. So, you know, I'm writing a book, which I haven't been dedicating as much time to it as I wanted to. But when I, one of the things I was talking about in the beginning of that book was this very thing, was that it was more important for me to step away from my business and to find myself again and to recover from how I was feeling and to get my excitement and motivation and creativity back than it was for me to, or for my ego, to hold on to this identity of being an entrepreneur. I just had to be like, it's okay. Like, I know inside I have that entrepreneurial spirit. Mm-hmm. I know that. I am self-directed. I am creative. It's just not coming out right now. And I need to go do this. Yeah. And I had to just let that go.
That's so, a really powerful.
Yeah, that was like.
Yeah, it's a powerful statement that you said, because I understand the ego of the entrepreneur, both personally and just, you know, ethereal as well. Like, you step into this box of being like, oh, I'm my own boss. Like, this is what I do. I'm driven. I'm like all this type of stuff. And you put yourself into this box of thinking you have to do these specific things, not realizing that, yeah, you might have an entrepreneurial spirit, as you just said, I like that, but not have to necessarily be like in that zone and do that. You can still have that spirit and that energy, but put it into something else from there. Because I think it is when you are in that zone of burnout, or those thoughts do come into your mind, I'm sure, like, am I giving up? Like, am I just being, you know, is this just a bad day? Is it a bad week? Like, will I bust out of this? And so often you'll think, yeah, I'll just push through this. And sometimes it's a decent answer to do, but you and your experience of a lot of different stuff we've talked about, you know, from the podcast, of the work that you did in Boston and then changing there and then moving, the ability to let your ego down and to like actually move into something, I think a lot of people can take, but it's still gotta be challenging. Those things probably pop up still, you know, throughout that time at the beginning. Was it pretty quickly, like it went away?
No, it definitely still was there. Like, there was also like that fear of judgment, like, will I be judged for just like for going back to an office job? And yeah, it was still definitely there. But I knew, like, when the universe is delivering massive resistance to you, which is what it was delivering to me at that time, it's like Bruce Lee used to always say, be like water. You have to listen to that and make it the what felt good and what felt liberating was letting go of my business and going and doing what I did so I could get that break. Yeah. So I didn't have to be tuned into the entrepreneur, the digital entrepreneurial world or social media or creating or launching programs or anything like that.
Yeah. You have a interesting perspective of being a coach for so long and then going into a corporate space. So often, like, people, you go into coaching and you only know that world. We work with a lot of people in corporate settings, but you're actually not stepping into it on a day-by-day basis. What was your thought about like the culture of health and fitness in a corporate space of going back? And I can already see this is going to be an interesting answer.
Oh, it blows my mind. It's very sad, the state that our country is in and how people eat and their lack of knowledge about fitness and nutrition and the choices that they make day to day in terms of like just literally coming in at 9 a.m. and just like sitting at their desk all day long, or like, and or they get up, they go get their lunch, and then they sit in the kitchen to eat their lunch. They're just sitting all day long. And the choices that they make for food. Yeah, it's, I definitely stood out bringing in my healthy foods. And whenever I could at lunchtime, I would sometimes go for a walk. I would like eat and then I would go for a walk. If I wasn't doing that, I was like reading a book and like other people are on their phones. And so that was like, is really eye-opening, because especially when you're a fitness coach, like we're surrounded by other people who have all the knowledge that we have. So we just think it's just commonplace that everyone, like the majority of the people, have this knowledge and know these things and have these healthy routines, and they exercise every day and they make sure they're getting their steps in and they're going for walks and they're eating real food. They're not eating Frankenfoods, right? They're not eating Cheez-Its and Famous Amos cookies and think that there's some nutritional value in them. Or drinking soda, like straight up flipping soda, like, and not just one, like multiple in the workday. I'm like, oh my God. Like, you know, you're killing yourself right now. So anyway, so you just, so it was very eye-opening to me, because I'm like, oh my God, this is why the fitness industry and the health and wellness industry is such a big industry, because people do not know. They do not understand. They don't know. And they, this is what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was, and I was like, I had to go in there and I was just, I just saw it all happening. I'm like, I'm not going to tell anyone anything. And people would ask me stuff all the time. People would always want my advice. They would always want, you know, and I would share, if they asked me, I would share, you know, without judgment. And, you know, but it's like, it's hard. What we do, I don't think that we realize, like, it's our lifestyle. So it's not like hard for us, but getting to that point where it's your lifestyle is hard. I did have, oh, this is a good story. I did have someone, one of my coworkers, he was like really trying to work hard to like prep his food and get to the gym. And one day in the kitchen, he's like, Artemis, I was prepping food over the weekend and oh my God, it's so hard. It takes so much work. It takes so much time. I said, yes, it does. That's why most people don't do it. They don't want to like, they don't want to like build it into their weekly schedule to figure that out. So yeah, they just get up and they grab some Cheez-Its.
Yeah, it's, you know, I think it's such an important point, specifically being a coach, because whether you're an online coach or whether you do in-person stuff, like it can be very easy to get jaded about what so many people just do throughout their day, you know, end up being in that type of culture. You know, I remember like working in a gym, you have other trainers you're working with, and even people that are coming into the gym, they're in that energy and that space of focusing on their development. You know, it's a different type of energy. Even if they work in a different job, they're at the gym. So they're in that zone at the time. And I always thought of this as anytime I would go to a workshop or I'll go to events where you're around like a bunch of instructors and you're learning for a weekend, I always thought it was so fascinating going back to the airport, like the following day, because you've just been surrounded by maybe, you know, 20 to 100 people who all think very similarly to you. Yes. And then you go and you look at the airport and you see everybody just sitting around and you see the different faces. You're like, oh, like that wasn't the real world. Like the real world is a lot of people who have no idea what to do. And I think it's important because like being in that environment, somebody could just like that guy, like want to do these things. But when you're in an environment like that, that nobody's really doing that except for maybe one black sheep out of there named Artemis, you know, it's like, it's really challenging for people to do. And I think it's an important thing as a coach just to remember, like the environments around those things for people could be so powerful. And for you to step into that for a couple of years, you probably have even a different perspective now going back into coaching of working with people.
Definitely. Yeah. And there's also like, the food that comes into the office. Like there was always like potluck with healthy food, and like at holiday time, there's always like, you know, chocolate and like baked goods like all around, and or people bring donuts. It's always there. So you have to make the choice that your health is more important than eating that that donut, right? Or eating the sugar or eating the unhealthy food. And, you know, it doesn't mean like in a potlucks, I wouldn't eat the food. Like I would socialize, but I stuck to like what I had. And because that's what was important to me. And that's what like helped me to feel good. Yeah.
So now,
and
so
then also I, just.
Well, so now all you're back and now you're back into coaching world and stuff. So what was this transition like of getting back in? Was this something that you've been thinking about for a while of maybe this is really my zone, or how did this come about of you wanting to get back into coaching?
I think it like never really left. It just like, it just went dormant for a while. I will say like that first year that I was in the office, like 2022, that year, I wasn't really thinking about it. It just felt so good to not have to do it anymore, to not have to run my own business. And the work that I had to do was like, so easy, like in my work ethic. What was so amazing too is I got there and people like I was like the ins I have was the one with the insane work ethic.
Yeah.
Like all I wanted to do was work. I was like, I just want to come here and I just want to work and I just want to crank shit out. Because I think that's just what you do when you're an entrepreneur. You're like, I'm not hanging around the office for like 8 hours just like for shits and giggles. No, like I'm gonna get whatever work I have to do today, I'm gonna like get it done. And you're motivated too because it's something that like comes from deep within, right? As an entrepreneur. So I approach like any work task that way. And that's how I was like a machine. And I don't know where I was going with that, but that
well,
was,
I'll tell you,
it was
well, I'll
very,
jump in. I'll tell you a quick thing. We had a member at our studio who got a job like with the DOT, the transportation department, and came in one night, like after her first day on the job with just like this kind of stricken look on her face, and we're like, oh, like how was the first day? And she's like, somebody gave her something to do and she did it in like 15 minutes and came back like, all right, what else do you want me to do? And they're like, you're done with that? Like that was supposed to be like the thing to do for you today. Like slow down your pace was what they told her to do. Like take your time, do it. She's like, no, I want to do stuff. It's like,
right.
Hey, we're telling her to like slow down in the process. And I had the same thing. I'm like, really? Okay. Like, it's just such a different mentality.
Yeah. There is something to be said for like Tim Ferriss's teachings about the 4-hour work week. Like no one needs to be in the office for 8 hours. If you're using your time wisely, you don't need to be working 8 hours in a day. You just don't. Like, no. But so like that first year, like I wasn't even thinking about it at all. And then I will say like, as the year turned, so, and I had gone through, like I came on board and I was promoted to a supervisor position. And then like by like December of that year, I was interviewing for a manager position, which I thought I was going to get, which I didn't get. And, it was actually pretty devastating. It was like a really big blow. It really hit me a lot. It really just impacted me a lot. And fortunately, after I got the news that I didn't get the position, I was taking a vacation, taking some time off. It was like it was after the first of the year. It was like early 2023 in January. And because my husband, he was working for Mystere as a head therapist at the time, and they have like their 2-week dark period. So we had taken some time off. And I was like, I'm so glad that I don't have to see the person who got the job and I have some time to recover from that rejection, because it was like, for some reason, it was just like, it really hit me hard. And over that time, that was actually when I started writing my book. For some reason, I just like, I think I was reading Kara Alwill's book, Girl on Fire. And she was talking about how she started writing her first book. And I was like, yes, I've wanted to write a book for a long time. And for some reason, maybe it was just having some rest on that vacation. I was like, I want to write a book. So I started writing again. And that was the other thing. Like, I remember talking to my husband in 2022 about like, I haven't been writing anything. Am I going to like, I've been writing like for so many years of my life, and I just have had no desire to write, and I haven't been writing, and I'm so scared that I'm going to forget I had to do it, and that I'm going to stop being good at it. And so when I started writing, I was like, I remember how to write, and I'm actually like, I'm pretty good at this. And it felt so good to be inspired to write again and to be creative again. So I think it really kind of like started there is mm-hmm. when like the spark started to come back, was like writing my book. And then in the spring of that year, there was another manager position that opened up, and I was promoted to, it was a training and development manager position. And so in that position, I got to create trainings and teach and coach our whole staff. And I'm like, yes, this is what I love to do. This is who I am. And it all just started to come back.
Yeah.
And so I think like that was like the start. It just, oh, yes, okay, I'm reminded now. And right at the time too, I had decided to, and the other thing I just have to go back to real quick, because, you know, as entrepreneurs, we're always like listening to podcasts and reading books. And I had still been reading books and everything, but I had not been as like deep in, like, usually I'm reading a book and listening to a podcast, or also listening to a different audiobook is usually like what I'm usually doing, and just constantly taking in new information. And I had just been reading. And then around the time that I started writing a book, that was when I started to get motivated to kind of get back to some of the podcasts that I like to listen to and like get back into that. And so when I got that training and development manager job, I signed up to get my certificate in organizational leadership with Villanova online. I did an online course with them, and that required a lot of reading and writing. And like, especially the first course was like a lot of writing. And again, like I remember the professor in that first course, she was like, I mean, she like, and from way outside just validates that for you, you know, and which is like, for me, that's like writing. And so I remember that first course, the professor, she commented to the whole class, like basically she wanted me to like share my final paper with everyone. And then she's like, Artemis, you are just such an incredible writer. I have loved reading all of your papers. And it was like, it was the biggest compliment. And so I think it's just kind of like getting that validation back. And not that I, you know, we should need that, but sometimes you need someone to remind you.
Sure.
Like, you need to have these experiences and go through them, so the experiences remind you of what your gifts are and what your purpose is. And then it helps to have someone from the outside remind you and enforce like, yes, these are your gifts and this is your purpose. And so that whole process happened. And also while all that was happening, I was really like itching. Like I remember saying to my husband, Eric, like, you don't have this feeling inside of you that you just want to run your own business. He's like, no, I don't want to go back to that. I don't want to do that. It's like, and that's the thing. Like when we met, he was working for Boston University and I was running my own business. And I have, like, ever since I left my consulting job, I've always run my own business. So it's just like a huge part of who I am. And I don't know if it's just because there was a point where I wasn't like loving my job for a number of different reasons, but it wasn't about the work, it was about like the organization. I was like thinking about like, I'm like, I don't know if I'm thinking about wanting to run my own business again, or I just can't get this feeling. It's like this gut, or like this, you know, this visceral feeling of like, I want to run my own business. Yeah. I don't know if it's because I'm not happy, or if it's because like, that is just like what I'm coming back to now, because that's really who I am, what I want to be doing. And then when my husband left CERC and he got a job here in Louisiana, he's at Tulane, and I ended up leaving my job to move here with him. It was like a blessing in disguise. It was very fortuitous. I think it just allowed me to come have some freedom away, you know, after like going through this sort of rebirth, you know, I got my break. I had these experiences that reminded me of what I need to be doing. And then when I finally came here and I wasn't attached to a job, I had some time to think about what I really, really wanted to do now that I had gotten the much needed break that I needed.
Yeah. You know, you said like when the woman said like you're such a great writer, like, yeah, no, we don't need validation. It's nice, but when someone reminds you of something that you also know is inherently true about yourself, it is like that extra, like, okay, like, yeah, this is where I'm at. Like, this is my purpose. And if you've run your own business before and you've been, you know, an entrepreneur, just really like an individual type spirit like that's never going to leave you. Like how you put that into a, you know, modality or career is going to be different in certain spots there. But yeah, I knew I kind of eventually I was like, when I heard that you're back, I was like, yeah, this just makes sense that Artemis is back in the coaching world of rolling in. I want to ask you about your training during that time though. I mean, you've always been strong as fuck and you've worked on that for a long time. Were you still like with this different schedule? Were you able to make, you know, gains and continuously succeed in your own health and fitness during that time? And how was that process a little bit different for you than when you were coaching before?
Yeah. So I started out with an aggressive program, I remember, and it was like 5 days a week. And then there was a point that I learned, like, I can't lift 5 days a week and work in an office. So like I adjusted it. Like I found that like 4 days a week of lifting was the sweet spot. I definitely needed one full off, like really totally off. Everyone does, but like I very evident. And then it just, and those other 2 days were either like I would go for one of them, I would usually go for a run. The other one was a free day. I could take it as a second day off. I never would do another lift session. It was either like a second day off or another run. And that worked for me. And I will say, like, I did have periods in my training where I was like, noticed that I was getting stronger, but I was also managing like, just there's a lot more stress getting up and going to the office. There's like a lot, like 5 days a week is a lot. And I didn't always get as much sleep as I needed. And so I found that like there, I would have like periods where, yes, I saw some strength gains, but then I just saw periods where I'm just like, I'm just maintaining, I'm just maintaining, I'm maintaining. And yeah, so that was pretty much like my training, but I was very diligent about lifting. Like I still like kept to a program, just made adjustments based upon like stress and lack of sleep and things like that.
Yeah. All right. So now I want to get into the details of what you're doing now. Okay. So specifically now with coaching, you've been working more with women specifically like over the age of 40, 45 and like the change that you're going. I mean, you're 48 right now. As I said, you're still strong as fuck, but you've made a lot of changes into your own just lifestyle and just kind of even like strength work as you've gone on. Like, what was it? Was this always like a group of like a demographic that you wanted to work with? I mean, you've worked with it before, but now like you're focusing very deeply on this. Was this something that you wanted to do for a long time of just solely focusing on women at this time?
I think what turned my focus to solely work on women in this demographic is my own personal experience. And I definitely, so back in 2019, I launched a program that I have called it's like hormone 45 day hormone reset. It's really just about nutrition and lifestyle changes to optimize hormone balance, which I haven't relaunched yet, but I do plan probably to relaunch it in the fall. And so I did work with a lot of women because I have my own history of struggles with hormone balance, even prior going into perimenopause. And so like I have Hashimoto's. I was officially diagnosed with that when I was 41. And then at that time I signed up my physician. He is, you know, a muscle medicine. If you've heard of like the term muscle medicine, I know like Gabrielle Lyon talks about that.
All right.
And it's just about that, you know, your muscle is, now they're considering it an endocrine organ. It's the largest endocrine organ in your body, right? So it releases something called kinds that are like hormone-like proteins, and they influence cells and functions in the body and things like that. So that's a whole other thing. But so I started working with this physician and doing hormone replacement therapy. And that was when I was 2018. So I guess I was 42 at that time. And so then that was like very influential for me to create this hormone reset program. I really started to dive into lifestyle and nutrition changes that help to optimize hormone balance. And I read a lot of like Dr. Sarah Gottfried is a great resource in that area. And she stays up to date on all the research. And she even has written some books on epigenetics in terms of what you do with your nutrition and your lifestyle, how that impacts how your genes express themselves. So if you're eating Cheez-Its, they're going to express themselves in a negative way. If you are eating like healthy whole foods and doing all the right things and kale and, you know, and all that, then you're going to optimize how they express themselves, and then express themselves in a positive way. And you're going to increase your health span, and meaning like you're going to have like more quality years during your lifespan. And I really just dumbed that down, but I really made that super simple. That's basically like what that is. And there's, you know, tons of research on that. Mm-hmm. And so that was something I had already been interested in and already had started to get into in my early 40s with my clients, with the programs that I had released. But then when I turned 45, which was like in 2021, and I'm doing all the right things, I've been doing all the right things for like 20 years, I'm doing hormone replacement therapy, but it's not foolproof, right? And we're still human. Mm-hmm. And when I turned 45 that's when I started to go through perimenopause, and things really changed for my body. And I just was like constantly like bloated and inflamed and like having night sweats and like, and I know I'm getting really personal here, but it's like, this is like stuff that like we as women, we go through, and not enough is talked about it. And honestly, women in the age, when women start going through this, and really I say over 40, but really shit starts to hit the fan around 45. Mm-hmm. And so like, I think there's not enough information out there or people teaching it and helping women with this. And it is out there. Like there are resources out there, but there needs to be more. And what happens is that like, you just feel like, I just felt like I was having an out of body experience. Like, this is not my body. I do not even know what is going on. Nothing that I have done my entire life or is working anymore. I just feel like I just feel like crap. And then physically my body looked different too. Mm-hmm. But it was more important to me that like, I felt like shit and I wanted to feel good again. I don't want to be like bloated every day of my life or feel just constantly inflamed and like not sleep well and all that stuff. So that motivated me to really start to dive into learning about like what was happening with me, what can make this better. And in terms of like nutrition, like food, nutrition, supplements. And so that is something that like, and I will say like, I was able to really start to like double down on it even more, like after I left my office job and I was like, okay, like I have fixed a few things over the past couple of years, but I'm not there yet. And I know I can feel good. Mm-hmm. And I know I can get back to, I'm never going to get back to where I was when I was in like my 30s, but I know I can like find what that, you know, that badass in me to be in my late 40s and my 50s. And my goal is like, I really want to feel great going into my next decade. And so I started to just double down on that in the fall and like really learn all that I could and then practice and implement on myself, like what's working and what's not working. And I discovered a lot of things, like I've implemented a lot of changes. Like I started taking creatine and mm-hmm. urolithin A, and a lot of it is supplements. And I know that like, it's, you know, targeted nutrition in terms of like, make mm-hmm. sure that you're eating high protein, macro-based. I know that there are some physicians out there who are promoting keto. I don't, I don't think that's the way to go, because as women going through perimenopause and menopause, we are, it's harder to maintain muscle and build muscle. So we need to have a protein focus, and we need to have that higher protein intake. You need to eat carbohydrates. You need to strength train. You need to like cut back on doing like cardio only workouts. You need to follow a program. No more. We know this, like, this is like no workouts of the day, like follow a program, build the muscle, eat to fuel your muscles and build that muscle. And so doing that, and you do need to invest in supplements. And there are certain supplements that you need to take in terms of like gut health, and like creatine helps with growth, boosting growth hormone, which will help you to build your muscles. And there's been tons of studies done on that, and collagen and things like that.
Yeah. What are the biggest struggles that you've seen from women that you've spoken to and worked with in this area? Is it more the strength piece, like not sure what to do with, you know, following a program? Is it more on the nutrition and supplement side on it? I'm sure there's a combination of it, but what are the big ones that seem like they keep standing out amongst all these women that are going through this time?
Yeah, it's definitely a combination of the two. I would say nutrition is number one. Nutrition is really hard for people in general. And then it's just really hard for these women, especially because they have so much information. The thing that I've heard is that there's just like, you know, they get on TikTok or they get on Instagram and they're like, they see people doing like keto and then they're doing this. And so, oh, I'll try that. And then I'm going to try this. It's like, oh my gosh, they don't even know. And it's, so I think like the nutrition and also like, does it, like the other feedback I've received too is like, you know, you see now like Instagram is targeted where you get like ads for like supplements and things like that. So it's like, oh, is that really a valid supplement or is that just a gimmick? Like they don't know if that's like a gimmick or if like they really should be doing that. So on the nutrition front, I think that would be number one where people are most lost. They don't know, because they didn't know, you know, you and I talked about this. Eating healthy is one thing, and it's honestly not enough just to eat healthy. Yeah. It's really about having a targeted nutrition plan that is macro based, and it's based upon your energy expenditure and your goals to build muscle.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they don't, you know, they don't understand that whole thing. And then the other thing is that like things like Orange Theory and like cycling class, like Peloton and things like that are very much promoted, where women have it ingrained that they need to do cardio and a lot of cardio for fat loss and to like for exercise. And that's what they need to be doing. No, we need to be doing more strength training. Like personally, my body composition has always been its best when I've been like, when I've just been strength training and even like not even like doing any running, like strength training and walking. Like that's it.
Yeah. It's fun. It is. It's like when you talked about that with nutrition, that's something I've talked about a lot with people recently, is there's a difference between eating healthy and then having a specific plan. Like if you want to change body composition, it's going to be different than just eating healthy. It's kind of like the same, like you can, like it's the difference between working out and strength training. Like there's a component of working out in strength training, but it's a different metric. It's a different, and I don't say that as an elitist type, you know, conversation. It's like, oh, I work out versus train. I was like, I hate that debate with stuff with people. But it is, it's like the, you know, nutrition, I think, can be so complicated with stuff, and everything is focused so much on eat this, not that. And it makes this demonization of this group of stuff versus this, versus actually understanding the not just the quality of food, but the quantity of actually what works best for you. That is going to take a little bit of time, but you know, Dr. Kashi has the best line: you owe it to yourself to be as accurate as possible. It's like, that's my favorite, you know, term of going on in there. So, but the other thing you mentioned is with supplements. Like, I think a lot of people, we demonize like talking about supplements. I don't know if it's because people want to jump to that first and not go into the training and the strength piece and think it's going to be like a quick fix type spot. But there's a lot of benefits to having supplementation in your diet that you're not just going to get from food or, you know, other aspects of foundational training. What were the supplements that you said you started working with that seems like they got a really big benefit?
So I would say, well, number one is I started taking Armra colostrum. That's just like what I take for my gut health, but it is dairy. So Like, for example, my husband takes Athletic Greens. So point being, just like take something for gut health, whether it is, there's another green out there that Paul Check supports that I can't think of the name, or Organifi. There's like Organifi and like AG1. And so do something for gut health, the supplement, and then creatine. Oh my God. I just wish I had started taking creatine in my 30s. Like, holy cow. Like, I will say that one supplement has made the biggest difference in terms of energy, performance, and I know that women are probably afraid to take it because they think that you're going to turn into the Incredible Hulk, or it's just for meatheads and muscleheads and dudes who just want to like bodybuild and have veins, which I like having veins, like biceps. I like that when I get the pump, but anyway, not all women want that. Yeah. However, there have been so many studies out there how it supports women who are going through perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopausal in terms of building muscle. And obviously, if you're building muscle, increasing bone density. Mm-hmm. And there's a physician out of Canada, Dr. Darren Kandow. He is a creatine physician. I first heard him on Cynthia Thurlow's podcast, Everyday Wellness. She's a nurse practitioner. And since then, he's been on like all these. He's most recently been on Gabrielle Lyon's podcast talking about the most recent studies with creatine, because it's not just muscle health. It's muscle, bone, brain. And he talks about like you learn so much from him in terms of how it will help you. Like if you have had if you're sleep deprived or stressed or you're jet lagged, and you can't take too much creatine. It's a very safe supplement. It's the most researched supplement out there.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, if you're concerned about bloating, just skip the loading phase. But I would say take at least 5 grams a day. I actually take 10. I take 5 in the morning and I take 5 later in the day. And it is something that for women, who are going through perimenopause, menopause, postmenopause, what it helps to do is it helps to boost growth hormone. Mm-hmm. So that's in which it's very hard for us. Like when we go to sleep, that's when we generate growth hormone. Mm-hmm. If you're not getting good sleep, that's not happening. And so as women going through menopause, it is harder for us to build that growth, to produce growth hormone. So it's going to help you to do that, which is going to help you to build muscle. And it just helps with so many other things. So I would say like creatine is like a huge one. And then urolithin A for mitochondrial health. What is the one? There's like one that's advertised a lot called MitoPure. It's like the Porsche of urolithin A, but you can find less expensive ones like on Amazon. And they just have really good marketing. It makes me want to go buy it. But like you can find less expensive urolithin A, which comes from pomegranates. Mm-hmm. And it helps with mitochondrial health, which your cells, right? So we're always like breaking down our cells and rebuilding them. And it gets harder to have better mitochondrial health as we get older. So this helps to support the rejuvenation of mitochondrial health. Mm-hmm. So I would say urolithin A has been super, super helpful. And then in general, omega-3s, mm-hmm. magnesium glycinate specifically for sleep. That's the one, because magnesium citrate, is that right? That's the one I think like if you're like constipated, but the magnesium glycinate, that will mm-hmm. help you. It helps with recovery. It helps with sleep. So taking
helps with sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that and So the ones that I incorporated were like Armra, creatine, mm-hmm. urolithin A. I started to double up on my omega-3s, which is like fish oil. I just started to take more. So I take more than 2,000 milligrams a day. I think I take like 2,500 mm-hmm. milligrams a day, which I think recommended is like 2,000 to 4,000 for women my age and older. And so that's what else did I mention there? Oh, the magnesium. I started taking magnesium at night.
Yeah. You know, creatine is interesting because it is also one of the least expensive supplements that you can use. And it, as you said, it's the most researched supplement out there that's been, I think, proven by pretty much every, you know, well-known clinician, nutritionist, everybody in there. So that's beautiful.
And then also collagen, because we...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As humans, we lose 1% collagen a year. And then after menopause, it's 2% a year. And that's like your skin, your hair, and your nails. Like, and collagen does not count towards your total protein intake. Collagen, it's
like, it's a peptide. Yeah.
It's a peptide. So yeah. It's not like, so don't worry if you're afraid, like, oh my God, I don't want to like my protein macros to go toward, don't worry. It does. Just take it as a supplement. Your skin will thank you.
Yeah.
And count towards your total protein intake.
Oh, that's awesome. So, Artemis, you are the best. I'm so happy to have you back. I'm so happy you're back in the industry doing what you do, because I always learn so much from you. So appreciate you jumping back on.
Thank you so much for having me. This was great. This was fun.
Always. So if people want to follow you, check out your stuff again, where's the best place that they can go?
Yes. I have a brand new Instagram account. Mm-hmm. I deactivated my old one and I have a new one, and it's on Instagram. It's at I am the Artemis. Mm-hmm. And I'm rebuilding my following right now, which is like crazy. So that's what I'm focusing on right now. Just like rebuilding, getting back out there, being consistent. I have like 400 followers right now.
All right. There you go. It's
I know.
On the way.
Like, I went from like 15,000 to 400, but it feels so good to have a new account. So.
Oh yeah. No doubt.
That. And yeah, that's the best place to find me. You can just find me there, message me there. Any questions or anything.
Beautiful. Well, till next time, because I know this won't be the last. So thank you again, Artemis. Listeners, go follow Artemis. You know what to do. I'll catch you guys on the next one. All right, peace.
Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you found some great value here. And if you like this episode, please drop a comment and leave us a 5-star rating and review. It does more to build the show than you can imagine. And do not forget to check out and join the Strength Connection Facebook group. In this group, I share the biggest takeaways and lessons from these amazing conversations, as well as training and strength tips for pursuing mastery and fulfillment in life. Yes, this group is filled with individuals looking to take full control over their strength, and it's the perfect space to explore new ideas and to share your journey. You'll also get exclusive access to the Strength Connection Mastery Seminars. It's a deep dive into the physical, mental, and spiritual training that you can begin using immediately. So do not wait. Go now. Seriously, go. All right. Much love to you. Thank you so much. And I'll catch you on the next one.